Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you alongside Michelle Knezvik. Joe Rex Road down in Florida. He is currently at press conferences between Tennessee and Clemson in advance of the Orange Bowl coming up here on Friday. So he'll be back on the show coming up at 9 o'clock. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, let the record show, Rex Road is dodging you today.
Yeah, he's got to get his priorities straight.
He really does. It's a very disappointing development for Rex Road out there. PK, I want to get your thoughts on the clip that we just heard from Mike Vrabel. Some strong comments after the game against Houston about maybe the buy-in. You know, as a professional athlete, if you just work 8-4, 8-4:30, I don't know how much you get out of it. I thought some eyebrow-raising comments after the game. You asked him for clarification on Monday, and he walked it back a little bit and put the coaches in there as well. What did you make of kind of that exchange from Vrabel, what he said after the Houston game, and then his response to your question on Monday?
Yeah, he walked it back Saturday, too. I mean, after that comment that you guys just played, I said, do you have 8-4 guys? And he said, no. And then walking it back on Monday, he said, you know, I should have been more clear. I think it's just kind of his attempt to say we need more from everybody, you know, and they clearly do need more from everybody. But quite frankly, some of the people that they've got working now, when they've gone so deep into their depth, I don't know that more is going to deliver that much. They've reached. You know, peak levels for students aren't capable of doing that much. And I think, you know, maybe in the moment he was talking to a couple guys. I don't know that Zach Cunningham is all the way in, you know, in a conversation that I wasn't a part of with media when he was coming off of into his practice window before he came off IR. He was given chances to say that he was in meetings and paying close attention to what was going on during his rehab. He said that he wasn't. And most every Titan in those situations says that he was. And he's seemed to me to be a relatively disinterested player when he's been on the field, a big disappointment, a big money, big disappointment. So, you know, maybe there are a couple guys that he's addressing that way. I suspect they're not happy with Nate Davis, which is a problem because Nate Davis is their best offensive lineman and he's a free agent. And if he's not back, you know, then they're rooted in a lot of rebuild. It's even that much better. But I don't think he was speaking to too many people. And he doesn't coach through the media there, so if he was sending any kind of message, it would have been something he'd already discussed with the guys.
Well, Paul, speaking of Vrabel, I mean, you know this. Any time that a team loses multiple games in a row, much less five games in a row, lots of opinions come out from the fan base, from writers alike, all these different things. And you came out with a really interesting piece yesterday at PaulKuharski.com discussing Mike Vrabel and his job status and maybe questioning those of that who think that could be in danger as they move forward. What do you say to those who believe that Mike Vrabel should be in some trouble as it comes to his job?
Well, first off, I don't think he's going to be in trouble, and I don't think he should be in trouble. He's a great coach who's had a bad second half of the year, and he's really had a bad second half of the year because of the bad roster and the bad depth. And the guy responsible for that, if you're insistent that somebody's head roll, his head has already rolled. So it's almost hurt Mike Vrabel that the John Robinson got fired as early as he did, because now people are looking for somebody else to blame and wanting him out. It's ridiculous to want Mike Vrabel gone. Even if your rationale is if he insists on sticking with Todd Downing, then he's not qualified and he should go. Because then you're presuming that the worst coach that the Titans would hire to replace Mike Vrabel is going to somehow automatically come with a better offensive coordinator. But by my count, Mike Vrabel is at minimum, the ninth best coach in the NFL, and I think that's selling him short. I think if he got fired, and all of this is hypothetical because I don't think he's getting fired, but I think if this loud, small minority got what they wanted, Mike Vrabel would probably be coaching for the Indianapolis Colts and kicking the Titans' butt twice a year, leaving Titans fans absolutely miserable with the lesser coach they wound up with. It's just ridiculous. Look, he's made mistakes this year. I mean, the Downing thing is a fair question. The injury thing is a fair question, though that falls as much, if not more, under Robinson's purview. You know, there are other things that are questionable for sure. Keep this in mind on the replacement thing. They played the Chargers a couple weeks ago, and the Chargers, with or without J.C. Jackson, who's out for the season, Rashawn Slater, Derwin James, and Bosa. And the guys who replaced all of those guys made plays against the Titans. The Titans were without Treylon Burks, Christian Fulton, and Molden. And they played Chris Connolly, Greg Maven, and John Reed. And none of those guys did anything.
Paul Karski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, you bring up Christian Fulton there, and now, obviously, he hadn't played in a few weeks, and he was back as a limited participant yesterday. I really like him when he's on the field. He's been off the field a whole lot so far in his career. How concerned would you be about him, his injury status, and what to do with him if you're the Titans as you move forward?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't get enough play. I don't think Vrabel talked recently in one of the injury conversations about repeat offenders. There's three very clear repeat offenders in terms of soft tissue injuries on this team. Christian Fulton, who's dealt with hamstring and now groin and is slow to return. David Long, who's costing himself a lot of money with a second big stretch missed, seven games last year, at least four this year. And Elijah Molden, whose season's been pretty much a wash and who admitted to Terry McCormick that last year he wasn't right, and that he basically played through a groin injury that's become a big deal this year. Vrabel doesn't like guys who have soft tissue injuries and aren't available to overcome it. And he feels like those things are largely on the guys themselves for what they fail to do when they're not around the team. So, you know, like you said, Fulton's great when he's out there, but this spot play and the dominoes that fall in the secondary when he's not out there, a big issue, especially when the pass rush fades. And he's got to find a way to be out there more consistently. That groin injury suffered on that play where he got run into on the deep ball. I can't remember which game it is. It didn't look like, you know, and you can't say, but you didn't look at that and go, oh, Fulton's going to be gone for three games off of that, and here we are.
PK, last thing for you here, and I bring this up to you because you're uniquely qualified to answer this question. I don't know what Derrick Henry's status is going to be tomorrow as they take on the Cowboys. He is in a race for the rushing title. If in the next 2 weeks he's able to win it and he wins his third rushing title in the last 4 years, what would that mean, in your opinion, for him and his Hall of Fame credentials when everything's said and done?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting close. 10,000 yards would do a lot for him. I think they should play him, by the way. I can't get my head around all these people who are just fine with the Titans not putting up any kind of fight against Dallas and thinking they're going to carry a six-game losing streak into Jacksonville and somehow flip a switch and just go out a win again. I think with Derrick Henry, you know, have some kind of a chance in this game. Dallas is 22nd against the run. But, you know, with or without the rushing title, you know, it just keeps stacking 100-yard games and building towards that 10,000 yards. His case continues to build, and as long as the wheels don't fall off, what he needs is time You know, he's got one more year on his Titans contract, and I think if he could go 3 more years at something along the pace that he's at right now, this year's pace, he'd be in awfully good shape. You know, I think the only thing that's going to stop Derrick Henry is if somebody pulled the emergency brake.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with me, and we'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy it, pal. See you.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Looking ahead at the Titans and the Cowboys coming up tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Adam Sparks coming up at 8:30. You'll hear from Predators forward Philip Forsberg coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Cheryl from Nashville. Cheryl, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
So I have a question, and I'd appreciate your thoughts on some things that have been troubling me, and I'm sure a lot of folks, for the last 2 years now on these injuries. The fact that we have the consistent soft tissue, hamstrings, the issues are always the same. You have to begin to look at the strength and conditioning folks. What is going wrong with what the folks that we have? We have players that have left. A.J. Brown's a good example. Deontay Foreman, they're playing on other teams, and these guys are playing all season. They're not injured. So I would really appreciate what your thoughts are on where we are and maybe what changes are going to need to be made, because these are too often too many, and then once the players leave and they go to other teams, we don't see these same injuries.
Hey, thanks for the call, Cheryl. I mean, Michelle, it's a conversation that continues to come up about the training staff. And you know, I said it last week. I've never really been one that's been like, well, you got to blame the training staff when all these things happen. But I said it last week, and the more that it continues to happen, the more I think that I stand by it. Like, this is a results-oriented business, right? Regardless of what line of work you're in professional sports is a results-oriented business. And we've used the Todd Downing discussion as an example. You know, do I think that Todd Downing is just a horrendous offensive coordinator? No. Do I think he's very good? No, I don't. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But at some point, the results are what they are, right? I mean, it didn't go well for him with the Raiders, and it's not gone very well for Todd Downing as offensive coordinator the last 2 years with the Titans. And at some point, when you're making decisions, you got to make decisions based on the results. Well, the training staff... Again, do I think that you can point at the Titans training staff and say that they're the problem and they're the reason that all these players are getting injured? No. I mean, following logic, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, they're different injuries. So some are shoulders, some are concussions, some are knees, some are soft tissue injuries, like Cheryl brings up there. But at the end of the day, this is going to be the second year in a row that you've led the league in injuries. So those questions need to be asked, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Amy Adams Strunk at the end of the day decides, you know what, this has gone this way 2 years in a row. We got to make some changes on the strength and conditioning front. And again, like I said, it's difficult for me to get to, well, the Titans are just so far off base on what they're doing strength and conditioning wise rather than every other team in the NFL that this is where they've gotten to. But again, professional sports is a results-oriented business. And at some point, you look around and you say, how in the world is this possible that they've led the league in injuries and players used for two consecutive years? And, you know, it's been a conversation that, you know, I thought when it first started was asinine. Like I said, I still don't really buy into that this is the trainer's fault and this is why that's happened. But, again, it's professional sports. It's about the results.
Well, it's a what have you done for me lately business, Robbie. And I think the silver lining in it last year was the team was winning, right?
Correct.
So they were the number one seed, right? They overcame all of this. Vrabel did a great job, him and John Robinson, getting guys off practice squads, having them be available for the next week, playing days later and things like that. And they were winning. So at the end of the day, it was, wow, look at this. It almost was a positive. Well, not a positive that players were getting hurt, but they were able to overcome it. Whereas now this year, we've seen the opposite happen. They're on a 5-game losing streak right now. Ryan Tannehill, your quarterback, is hurt, which is a whole nother story in that, because he wasn't last year. And that's probably the hardest position to be able to, you know, plug in and play. Malik Willis is clearly not ready. And I was talking with Junie about this too, you know, on the injury front. You know, it's the injuries and it's everything else. It's the Todd Downing DUI. It's the Ryan Tannehill's hurt. It's the you fire your GM mid-season. It's the now we're on a 5-game losing streak. And it's almost like this snowball effect of everything has just kind of all happened at once, and then the losing on top of it. I mean, and you can see from the players too, their attitude in the locker rooms, like it's got to be very, very frustrating. And the only thing that makes it better is winning. So I agree with Paul Kaharsky when we had him on too about, you know, not playing certain guys on Thursday. I think they should play, because you're telling me you want to go in to try to win the division, to try to get that playoff spot, coming off a 6-game losing streak and not even try it all on Thursday? If they were to somehow, you know, the Mike Vrabel special, come out with a win on Thursday, that would do enormous things for their confidence. Plus, you would have the extra time, because you're playing on Thursday, before you head into week 18 in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested to see what they do tomorrow. I really am. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, you're going to have some guys missing it anyway. I mean, it's Thursday night football. The Titans have been banged up all year. There are going to be some guys where it doesn't make sense to go tomorrow. And if it doesn't make sense to go, then just don't go. I mean, that's the luxury of, you've got the winner-take-all game next week in the division. But it's a tough spot to be in, because if you're a fan, you want to know, like, why does this continue to happen? To Cheryl's point, why has A.J. Brown gone to Philadelphia and
Ben
injuries
healthy
have not been a problem? Now, you know, I think some people have kind of overblown the AJ thing. He was hurt last year, and he missed some games last year. He was hurt the year before. He played in every game for the Titans. So it's not like AJ Brown missed, you know, 15 games in his career with the Titans. But, I mean, it does. You do look at what's happened since then, and he goes to Philadelphia, and all of a sudden injuries just aren't a problem for AJ Brown. And you're like, man, well, that would have been nice here a year ago when you could have used him. I mean, what were the Titans last year when A.J. Brown was on the field? I think they were like 11-2. I think it was their record when he was on the field.
Well, and then you have Julio Jones, who's been somewhat of a factor in Tampa Bay too. He's another guy. And then I also look at Roger Saffold, who's been pretty durable for Buffalo right now. And I know he was a cap casualty, but he was on and off the field last year too. But I think the A.J. one is the main one, because it was a way to justify the trade of when the Titans traded him. You know what? He's always injured, and he wasn't able to do much. He was never on the field. That was kind of this is how I feel better. And now AJ goes to Philadelphia. He hasn't been off the field due to a significant injury, a soft tissue injury. But, you know, it definitely is a fair point. And if I'm Amy Adams Shrunk, you know, I'm looking into this, because it is bizarre that you break the record last year for 90 players used. And then this year, I think they're in the 80s again. And, I mean, I don't think there's any other team around the league who's had that issue. I know it's football, people get injuries, but it is definitely very bizarre that it's happened 2 years in a row.
No question about it. Coming up next, you'll hear from Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and Clemson coming up in the Orange Bowl on Friday. That's coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thanks, Robbie. And listen, the New Year's is right around the corner, and Superbook has a New Year's resolution for you. I think you're going to like it. Win some money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Who doesn't love win it in a little extra money. And Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Listen, we got Thursday Night Football here in Nashville. Robbie and I were just talking about the matchup. The Cowboys are favored by 9.5. Not really sure how many starters will be on the field, but I do think that the Cowboys are going to be able to cover that 9.5. I think they win by about 10. This Cowboys team has been putting up 40 points in the games, and I just don't think the Tennessee Titans offense will be able to compete with that. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
106.3 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Vols and the Clemson Tigers coming up in the Orange Bowl. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are we doing?
Real good, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. I don't know what you've done to have to spend your holidays with Joe Rexroad, but we feel for you here on this program.
Yeah, well, his wife does, and my wife does, so we can take solace in just working if we get tired of either of them, I suppose.
That is true.
I haven't even really begun to annoy him yet this week.
Well, I'm sure it's coming down the pike, no question about it. Adam, as you look at this matchup, what do you think this game means for this Tennessee program? Obviously, I mean, you're not in the college football playoff, and we know. As each year goes by, the college football landscape changes, and people, all they care about is the college football playoff around the country. But this is a game against a team and a program that's been one of the upper echelon programs in college football for the past decade. What do you think this game means for Tennessee coming up on Friday?
Well, I mean, I think for the fan base especially, it's going to be an overreaction either way to either outcome. If Tennessee plays reasonably well, wins the game, Joe Milton plays well, then the overreaction is going to be Joe Milton is absolutely the starter all of next season. This team's going to win 10 games again, and all the pieces are in place. You know, Squirrel White's just going to be Jalin Hyatt, and he's going to win the Biletnikoff next year. That's going to be the overreaction if they play well. If they play poorly, then Joe Milton needs to jump in the portal. You need to go get Sam Hartman as your quarterback. There's no leadership on this team. Jeremy Banks is the scapegoat of anything that went wrong in the 2022 season, and that'll be if Tennessee loses. And neither of those would be absolutely true, but I think that's what we're going to get out of it. I think with a lot of these games, if you win it, it's a celebration. It's one of the it would be the best bowl win Tennessee's had in a couple of decades. If they lose it, I think they're going to sort of just wash it out and move on. And I think either one of those would be fair, but it will put a little bit of a bow on the season if they can win it. I think if they lose it, fans will forget quickly about it.
Yeah, but probably, like you said, Adam, carry forward the quarterback thing. See, it's interesting. I agree with everything you're saying, although I'm a little hesitant on the Milton. Like, if they win, Milton plays well, everyone's going to be embracing Milton. I still feel like the first deep overthrow next year, like, the internet is going to explode. Like, new message boards will be created for Nico must come in right now, And I could be wrong, but I just – that five-star freshman and also the frustration, at times with Joe Milton, I feel like that's a combination where – not that it really matters inside the building, but just from a fan base perspective, I feel like he's going to have a really – thin margin for error next year. You agree?
Well, yeah, I think from what I can tell, I think the two camps have already sort of fortified. I mean, it's World War One trench warfare. You got your line and you're sticking to it. You got your Nico side and your Joe Milton side. I wrote a story the other day about Joe Milton, his possibility of starting the 2023 opener, and I got a lot of feedback, and it was, feedback from one side was, well, I guess you just think Joe Milton doesn't even have a chance. Why don't we just give it to Nico? And the other side was, so you're saying Nico has no chance at all. You're just giving the job to Joe Milton. And so, it's in the eye of the beholder. If Nico's your guy right now, you're going to you're going to stick with him all of next year and push and try to push him into the lineup. If Joe Milton is your guy, you're going to defend him. When he overthrows passes, you're going to say, well, you know, Hendon Hooker overthrew some too. And I think that's what Milton is going to deal with. I think within this game, you've got, I don't know, I mean, leadership is a word I think we overemphasize usually. I think maybe personality is more of the word in this game and then into next season. Because if you think about this team, Hendon Hooker was the maturity, the calm maturity of this team. He's not playing. Cedric Tillman was the alpha of the wide receiver core. He's not playing. Chaitlin Hyatt was the swagger. He's not playing. Jeremy Banks was the emotional leader on that defense. He's the guy that got them revved up before games. He's not playing. And so what's your personality of this team in this game? What's your personality going into next year? Josh Heupel's a big believer that you've got to have some personality for the team to succeed, and I don't know what this one is. You know, I went to practice yesterday, and usually you see Hendon Hooker, you know, walking around and clapping as if he's like a 40-year-old coach and talking to each player pretty calmly. Go out there yesterday and Joe Milton is dancing to a Katy Perry song, you know, in the middle of the quarterback drills. And by the way, that's what he should do because that's his personality. He can't become Hendon Hooker. But if that's the personality of the team, I don't know that you can just flip that switch in a bowl game. And the bigger question is if you can sort of go with, you know, with the type of demeanor that he has into next season.
Adam Sparks with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So, Adam, how intrigued are you to see what this wide receiving core looks like on Friday without Tillman, without Hyatt, and with guys that will play huge roles for Tennessee next year as 2023 begins?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see if Squirrel White can do what we've seen him do in snippets. I mean, I think the thing with him, though, people have to remember is that, you know, Jalen Hyatt had to put on weight and strength to finally thrive this year in that slot receiver spot. Squirrel White has not had a full off season to do that yet. So whatever you see, it's great. He's gonna do more of what he does in the off season. Is gonna determine what he is next year. Brew McCoy should be the guy next year unless they go get somebody in the portal at wide receiver, which obviously they're trying to do. You know, Brew McCoy is gonna get a lot more attention in this game than he's gotten in a lot of other games. But he's performed in games well when he's filled in for Cedric Tillman and taken that spot. I mean, he's a more of a physical receiver. He's not going to break a lot of long plays. He's going to catch and run over people, which, you know, we're talking about personality. That can be your personality in that receiving core. You know, Ramel Keaton, I think he's going to come back. I still think they would like to get another guy to fill in that spot in the portal. So there's a little bit of a preview to next season in this game on both sides of the ball for Tennessee, but I think it's more of sort of an elimination type approach. It's what you see in this game is not going to be what the team is next year, but you could see some guys sort of downgraded out of competitions if they don't play well in this game, or if things just don't look like they work in this game. Tennessee, if they win this game, they're going to do it by running the ball. They're NFL caliber offensive tackle. Darnell Wright is going into the portal. I'm sorry, he's going into the draft, but he is going to play in this game. He ran really well against Vanderbilt. If Tennessee wants to run the ball in this game, defend the run, take the pressure off of Joe Milton, and win it in that way. And by the way, Clemson wants to do the same thing with their freshman quarterback.
Yeah, and of course, Tennessee's defense, you know, there's a lot of we talked to them yesterday. Adam, the defensive side, we get the offensive side today, but the defensive guys, of course, talking about how, you know, there's not much film on Klubnik, but very impressed with him, said all the right things about him. But I'm very intrigued by that what you're talking about there and translating it to the defensive side of the ball, the sort of, you know, preview of next year, maybe elimination type game. Who on that side of the ball are you looking at as, you know, having important opportunities in this game?
Well, I mean, I more of that elimination approach I'm talking about. I want to see how the secondary plays because, Joe, I think I overheard you asking Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, yesterday about who he liked in practice. And a lot of what I've heard from coaches and elsewhere is that in practice they love the freshman defensive backs. And we can somewhat joke about it, but if they could play some of those, I'm talking about those early enrollees that just signed like a week ago, if those guys could play in this game, a couple of them probably would, based on what they've seen in practice. And so those guys are, you know, nipping at the heels of this secondary that had a lot of issues this year. And I think you want to see how those guys perform, because if they perform well, it leads well into 2023 for them, or at least gives them more optimism. If they don't, then they've got a new crop of recruits to come in and take those spots and certainly compete in the spring. And, you know, Cade Klubnik, the freshman quarterback for Clemson, they're going to want to try to give him some high percentage passes, get him involved in the game really early. We're not going to know this because we're going to be in the press box, but I'm curious to see how the TV broadcast handles this game, because, you know, I saw yesterday Klubnik is already listed as like the, you know, way too early top 10 Heisman candidates for next year, which makes sense. He's a five-star quarterback. If he plays well next year and Clemson goes 11-1, he probably will be in that conversation. But the TV broadcast is going to get used to hearing Trevor Lawrence, because they're probably going to say that a dozen times that Cade Klubnik is the next Trevor Lawrence. And a lot of the Tennessee fans are probably going to be annoyed a little bit by, you know, that talking point on the broadcast. Because Joe Milton is going to be like the number two quarterback in the storylines here. I think before this, he was going to be number one. And that's probably not going to be the case unless Tennessee wins in a blowout. But, you know, Clemson has a storyline of what they think they can do to lead into next year. Tennessee might have that, but we just don't know because they do have a number of key guys out.
Adam, last thing for you here. What do you make of the running back group that Tennessee's got, not only in this game, but as they move forward here? And how do you think Josh Heupel and this offensive staff handle Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, and Dylan Sampson, especially with him emerging over the last few weeks, as they move forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty curious about that because, yeah, they do have three guys that have produced, and all three are coming back. But if you're giving a sort of a letter grade, you may say they have, like, you know, a couple of B's and a B-minus. That's good. But I think they're looking for an A. They've looked into the portal. They'll continue to look into the portal. And you don't know how guys are going to react to that. Justin William Thomas, their stud signee from last year, has already gone into the portal and landed at Stanford. And because Dylan Sampson, the other signee in the same class, beat him out, and he's the number three guy. Well, if you know, are all three of those guys going to be happy if they try to go get a fourth guy? Because somebody's going to be downgraded. I don't know. They can go into next year and feel pretty confident about those running backs because they produced this year. But I do think they're looking for another element, more dynamic element in that running back group. And we'll see how those guys react if they do sign one of if they do go get one of those transfers.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always. Enjoy the Florida weather down there with Rex Road, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts and your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Choices to make. This or that. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit jaredcompaniesinc.com.
Come on.
The Choice Is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies. Visit jaredcompaniesinc.com, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get a free estimate at jaredcompaniesinc.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezbik. We'll have Philip Forsberg coming up at 9 o'clock. Michelle, would you like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Let's begin with non-sports today. Let's switch it up.
All right. You've been held hostage, and you can pick one TV character to come save you. Who is it? And I can start on this if you need some time.
Yeah,
to
you got
to
start
it.
On that, Rob.
All right, well, this question came up because I just got done watching season 3 of Jack Ryan. And he is not my answer, by the way. But I enjoy Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime. It's a very good show. And so I thought season three was really good. And it got me thinking about it, like, if I was in trouble and I needed a TV character of any type in history to come save me, who would it be? And I think my answer is Jack Bauer from 24. 24, back in the day. Great show. I think it used to be on Fox. Came out like 8 or 9 seasons. Jack Bauer, the greatest TV hero of all time. Give me Jack Bauer as my guy to come save me. I think I'd be in good hands if Jack Bauer was coming to get me.
Well, to no one's surprise, I don't know who that is or that show. But I have
every season on DVD, if that tells you anything.
Oh, my gosh.
That I can let you borrow. I think it's on Hulu, too.
I don't know if I can play a DVD on anything. I don't have anything.
Good gracious.
So when I thought about that question, I thought about a show that I've recently been watching, almost finished season 4, Ozark. I don't know if you've been on the Ozark train, but the guy might not be strong. He might not be able to fight somebody off, but Marty Bird can talk his way out of anything. So if I needed help with something or to get out of somewhere, Marty Bird would be the guy to save me. Also very intelligent. I feel like he would be able to just...
A little diplomacy.
He could figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever task, right? He deals with the cartel on a daily basis. So yeah. Marty Bird would be the guy I would choose.
So two different routes there. You're going with more of the diplomatic route of talking your way out.
Yes.
And Jack Bauer's coming in guns blazing. So.
Yes.
I like it.
Very Marty uses done. His word. Marty uses his words, not his... he's not a fighter.
That's right. All right, to sports. And I'm interested to get Joe's thoughts on this one, too, a little bit later. And I thought about this last night. Who is here longer in this town? Mike Vrabel or David Poile? And I'm not talking about long tenure, because, I mean, David Poile's been here for 25 years at this point. So I'm not talking total tenure. I'm talking from today until the future. Who lasts longer, Mike Vrabel or David Poile in this town? And I bring that up because I think Mike Vrabel is a really good coach. I don't think that he's in danger of losing his job here with the Titans anytime soon. David Poile, as we've discussed, I think has the ultimate vote of confidence from Predators ownership. So I bring it up because I think it's a very fascinating question that I'm not sure I know the answer to. Who lasts longer, David Poile or Mike Vrabel?
I like this one, Robbie, because, you know, it's obviously in our sports town. We saw John Robinson, who we thought would be here for a very long time. I know that David Poyle's been here a lot longer. And when they did add Bill Haslam to the ownership group recently, the ownership group, they basically said, you know, David Poile is here to stay. I don't know the exact words they used, but, you know, winning as GM, hasn't won a cup, but they want him to stay as the GM. And then I look at the Mike Vrabel situation. Young coach has exceeded expectations with this franchise, but Ohio State. Could he have other options in the future? Maybe. I'm going to go with, so from today on.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel, actually.
Going with Vrabel?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go Poile. I think Poile will be here longer than Vrabel will. And I say that from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, what you brought up is interesting to me. Like, at some point, does somebody lure Vrabel away?
Yes.
Be that Ohio State, be that somebody else. But does that happen at some point? And also, like, I think there's a good chance that maybe the Titans start to go on a downturn. And ultimately, like, at some point, the coach is going to pay the penalty for that, even though I think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. Like, I know there are probably some people screaming at me right now, but I just think that if you look at what's gone on there with what ownership has happened or has said about Poile, I think it's an interesting question. Joe Rexroad, let's loop you into the conversation.
Perfect timing, Rex.
I'll throw it because I want to get your thoughts on this. I threw it out there. Who is here longer, Mike Vrabel or David Poile, when it comes to this choice is yours question? I'm not talking about total tenure. I'm talking about from now moving forward.
Wow, that's a good one. That's a really good idea. Well, let's see. When is Vrabel becoming Ohio State's coach?
Well,
that'll probably be soonish, Rexroad.
Yeah.
I will say because as we've discussed, by the way, some Ohio State reporter like quote tweeted my Vrabel column the other day. He's like, since this column, Vrabel has lost all his games and Ohio State's gotten into the playoff. I'm like, yeah, they got into the playoff by sitting there, dude.
Yeah, not playing again.
After continuing to stew on getting their ass kicked by Michigan. Congratulations. But anyway, now I would guess that Vrabel will be here longer. I ultimately think he's going to be the Titans coach for a long period of time. And, I don't think it's too much longer for David Poyle.
All right, back to non-sports. In honor of the new year of 2023, your New Year's resolution for this year, your New Year's resolution. You can have multiple if you want to. I can start on this if I need to.
You start, Rob.
All right. I have two things, and this is, number one, I think a sign of my old age. One, I want to read more books. I've started reading some lately, and I found that I enjoy it. So I'm going to read more books. And I'm not talking like ebooks, like physical hard copy books.
Go to the library.
Going to read more books this year, which may be the most old man thing I've ever said. But I'm going to give it a shot in 2023. Also, philosophically, going to try to become a better listener.
There you go, Rob.
I've been told I can work on that. So going to become a better listener.
Wonder by who.
Yeah.
Those are two things I definitely can do. I'm going to steal your resolutions. I haven't thought about it yet. I think it's like, there's be healthier is one thing,
yep.
Just all the way around, more exercise, better eating, all that stuff. Continuing to try to like, as I talked about my buddy, Benny Wong, who we lost recently, just be better about being in touch with people and making things happen. Like, oh yeah, we'll do it next year. Stuff like that. That's more of an overall philosophical viewpoint than like this year. So, but actually, I'm just going to steal your resolutions.
Thank you.
No, I like both of your, all of yours that you guys have said so far. I haven't thought too much about it, but I guess we're only a couple days away. I think working out, that's always one that I throw in there, but two things for me, working on getting on like a daily schedule for myself, because I way too often do the like, oh, I'll just stay up to like midnight and then go to work at like 5 and then take like a 3-hour nap and I just feel like I'm all over the place. So getting on a schedule, whether sleeping and working out, and Joe, like you said, like planning in times to hang out with people, like making time for things like that. But then also too, just working on being in the moment more and not going down a dark, dark TikTok hole and being on there for like hours or social media, and just focusing, like when you're hanging out with people, like put your phone down, or when you're out to dinner, put your phone down, or when you're walking, put your phone down. So just focusing on like being in the moment more and enjoying life. Very philosophical
like
on this
it.
Program.
It's a philosophical
like
edition
it.
Of The Choice Is Yours. All right. Final question, your least favorite athlete of all time, any sport, your least favorite athlete of all time. Michelle, it sounds like you have an immediate
Grayson
answer.
Allen.
Wow, that
by
did
far
not take long.
By far. Obviously Duke, dirty player, and he like broke Alex Caruso's arm or elbow last year on such a dirty play. Grayson Allen, easy one.
That
for
was
me.
Maybe the quickest answer I've ever heard. Grayson Allen, the selection from Michelle Knezza.
I'm like, Robbie, don't finish the question, I got the answer.
Go Rex Road, your least favorite athlete ever. Is it Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
No, it's got to be Claude Lemieux. I mean, I still like with Jordan, obviously you hate Jordan and love going 3-1 against him in the postseason. That was wonderful. But he still got a lot of enjoyment out of watching Jordan. Jordan was incredible. So, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. I'd put them ahead of Jordan, honestly. But it's got to be Claude, that absolute dirtball.
I have two. Number one is really going to throw you off a little bit, because I used to just despise him, and it's because the Heat played against him in the finals a couple times. Manu Ginobili has always driven me insane, and I think he's probably a really nice guy, but man, he used to drive me nuts out there on the court. And the other one's Chris Paul. I can't stand Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I've never been
Chris
able to
Paul.
Stand Chris Paul. And I think he's a good player, but just some of the antics that he has, I'm going Chris Paul. So both mine are NBA guys.
Those are good. I mean, I got a Favre also makes my list. I mean,
That's
Favre,
fine.
and even now, it's like now that he's been revealed as just a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
That's sarcasm, by the way. Favre, I hate him even more. So what was the first question that I missed?
It was, if you had to pick a TV character to save you in a tight spot, who would it be? Mine was Jack Bauer. Hers was Marty Bird.
Marty Bird.
MacGyver.
There you go. All right.
Who?
I like it. MacGyver.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know either of those shows.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Philip Forsberg, Predators forward. We'll get his thoughts on the loss last night to Dallas, and the Predators about to head out on a Western road trip. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.